I would draw your attention this evening to the book of James. We'll be looking at just one verse of scripture. Just here tonight with a reminder for the church. James chapter 1 and verse 17. James chapter 1 verse 17. Reminder for the church this evening. Every good gift and every perfect gift. It's not from mom or dad. It's not from grandma or grandpa. It's not from a friend or a loved one, but it's from above. And it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. Do you know how wonderful that is? Doesn't change. He's always the same, always there, always fighting for us, always working on our behalf. With whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And I would even go one step further and say that he would also include in this list every priceless gift. I would say every priceless gift also comes from above. It comes from above. We make statements like priceless gifts, and that's my title this morning, priceless gifts, or this evening rather, priceless gifts. We could say something like that, priceless gifts, and we each probably would have our own interpretation of what that might look like. Somebody might envision a meal perfectly laid out. It's just as priceless to have a good meal and a warm car, right, Brother Duvall, afterwards. That's right. We might consider something like the Statue of Liberty to be a priceless gift. It was a gift from France many years ago to the United States as a sign of friendship. We might consider something like the Taj Mahal, which was an emperor's gift to his wife that passed during childbirth, and it's just extravagant. We might think of the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. We might think of the alabaster box. We might think of all these things that are costly and extravagant and expensive, but the kind of priceless gifts that I'm thinking of and what I have in mind this evening are not those that can be purchased with money. They really cannot be replicated. They're in a league of their own, so to speak. The things I have in mind are items like cherished memories. You know, time spent with loved ones, that is a priceless gift. I was there when all my children were born. And I cried every time when they were born, mostly because I was scared, but eventually I got over it and I was okay. Well, these are priceless gifts. These are memories that you cannot replicate. No amount of money can pay to get those back again. Maybe it's something funny that you heard or something funny that your child may have said. A week ago, my kids were out with mom to McDonald's. Blowing off a little steam in the play place, and they managed to get a cone of ice cream, of course, you know, which you can't go without doing that with a child. And our youngest said that the cone was very tasty and that the ice cream was very licky. Don't know how that works, but it makes sense. Somehow it makes sense. These are priceless things. You could not ask a comedian to replicate that, okay? It wouldn't be the same coming from them, but this is a priceless gift. Oftentimes, when I think back to some of my fondest memories from childhood, it involves laughter. It involves family and unique laughs that they had. And I find myself, the older I get, kind of having some of those traits that I remember my aunts and uncles having and the way that they would laugh. Oftentimes, a priceless memory could potentially come from childhood. A year and a half ago, at Christmas time, we surprised my mom and went up for a visit and surprised her for Christmas, and it was a great time, and we enjoyed it. And while we were there, my mom pulled out a recipe box and started to show me this recipe box. And I had never seen it before. I assumed she had had it for a long, long time. And it had some writing in it, and I said, and she showed it to me and didn't really give me any context of the handwriting, and I said, oh yeah, that's my handwriting. She said, no, actually, it was your oldest brother, and my oldest brother passed away when I was young. I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. I don't know that I ever saw his handwriting. And here, this connection was for my mom to have to have seen this thing, this connection between me and my brother who passed away so long ago that I hardly have any memories of him. And these kind of things are priceless. I remember going shopping with my mom, and I had a way I could talk her into anything. And I still can, to be frank, but my wife kind of makes me tap the brakes on that one. But I could probably get whatever I wanted if I tried real hard. Another venue for these kind of memories would be from your grandparents. We probably all have some good memories from our grandparents. There's been a trend that I've seen on social media recently where adult grandchildren would go without warning and surprise their grandparents with a sleepover, just like they used to do when they were kids, you know? And you would not believe how meaningful that was to the grandparents. It meant everything to them. You could see it all over their face. They were so happy and so glad that they took the time to come and do that for them. I have memories of my grandparents, of course. I remember my Grampy Dixon. Carl, he would come over sometimes to visit. He always was driving his truck. And he would come to the driveway, and our driveway was a little bit longer than the average one that you might be accustomed to today. And I would run down and jump into the back of his truck, and he would drive me up the hill, and I just thought that was the grandest thing ever. And he would give me spare change, or he would give me peppermints, and that's just a good memory that I have, and you cannot replicate that. It's a special, special, special thing. It's a priceless gift. My grandmother, my Grammy Dixon, she was a prolific quilter, prolific quilter. She made hundreds and hundreds of quilts, and we always had a good time. She always had a batch of homemade donuts made when we would go over, and I would indulge myself every time and not feel a lick of shame, and it was wonderful. She always made them plain. I don't know why, but they were always plain. She never put sugar on them. She never put glaze on them or anything like that. So I always wanted a little bowl of sugar to go alongside of it, and I would dip it like a sugar donut, you know. And her common refrain was, you're going to get sugar diabetes, Ashley, if you keep eating all this sugar. But I indulged anyway, and God has kept me. So, hey, thank God. Thank God. Somehow, along the journey of visiting, you know, every so often with my adult family and my kids, Grammy Dixon had a little stash of little baby quilts. They were maybe 3x3, you know, not very big. And each of my kids have one. Each of the three oldest ones were able to meet Grammy Dixon, and Giselle probably wouldn't remember. But we just happened to, by chance, grab a fourth quilt from Grammy Dixon, just in case. I had no intentions of doing this. It was my wife's fault. She made me do it. And we had number four. And Grammy Dixon had been passed away for years. But yet my son, every one of our kids have loved their blankets from Grammy Dixon. And they didn't really know her all that well. And even my youngest son, after years having passed away, he has one that he got from great Grammy Dixon. And it is a special thing to us. It is a priceless gift. These are the kind of things that money cannot, money doesn't touch this. Money doesn't have any effect on this. You cannot work long enough, you cannot work hard enough to get these kind of things back. They are without price. They are things that you wouldn't trade for anything. There's no amount of money that could persuade you to swap those for some tangible thing today. They are priceless. You know, as parents, we're often guilty and we go out of our way to provide quote-unquote priceless gifts from the mall at Christmas time, priceless gifts from the store at birthday times or some other special occasion, some clothing, maybe a toy, some shoes, some electronics, whatever it might be. And you know, to be honest, most of those things are forgotten on me. I had a great childhood. I had Nintendos. I had all these things. But all those things are so forgotten on me. And it's those intangible things that come rushing to my mind when I think back of the best times in my life. It is those things that are without measure, those things that cannot have a price tag associated with them that mean the most to me and that are the most special to me. And I'm so grateful for them. And while we've been sharing these examples of earthly examples, There is one in heaven whose name is Jesus, who also wants to be in relationship with us, and he loves us and he cares for us, and he also provides gifts for us. Not any old gift, but good gifts and perfect gifts, yea, even priceless gifts he has provided to you and to me. The psalmist wrote and said, the psalmist said it this way, daily he loadeth us with benefits. Well, where can you, you have to pay. You get a job and they offer you quote unquote benefits and you have to pay for them. Isn't that crazy? You have to pay for those benefits. But here Jesus is, knowing everything that we've done wrong, all the things that we would do to fail him and disregard him. And yet still he loads us down daily with benefits. 3-4 weeks ago, I was up front here praying on a Sunday morning, and I was reminded, my mind was filled with all these priceless gifts that God has given so liberally, without reservation, just openly, with wide open arms and generosity, far beyond what I deserved. And my mind was flooded with all these things, and I was so thankful and so grateful. You know, he has not withheld any good gift from us. He has given us everything that we have need of. And I'm here tonight just for a few minutes, if you'll bear with me just for a few minutes, to consider with me some of the ways that God has provided for us that you might have forgotten about, that you might not have considered and been thankful for. I was on social media the other day, and I saw this story of a World War II sailor whose boat had been hit with a torpedo. The boat began to sink, of course, and he found himself needing a life vest. Eventually, after a few days, his boat was rescued, or he was rescued, rather. The boat was a full loss, but he had this life vest, and that kept him safe, and he was rescued and began to make his way back to land and eventually proceed back to his house. And as he was traveling back home, he had this life vest with him just as a memento of protection that had kept him, you know, from this horrible, tragic circumstance. And he began to inspect and look at the life vest that he had. And he noticed that it was made in his hometown of Akron, Ohio, at the Firestone Company. So he makes his way home. They release him from service. And he returns home to his mother and begins to recount to her the story of how his life was saved and this life vest that he had. His mom worked at the Firestone Company, and he had forgotten about that, didn't know. Maybe it happened after he left. And he handed over the life vest to his mother, and the mom began to inspect the life vest, and her jaw dropped because the very life vest that he was wearing had gone through her line for inspection, and it was her number that had inspected that literal life vest that saved his life. What can you do? There's no amount of logistics that can organize something like that. There's no amount of logistics that can say, get this life vest to this person at this point in time who's going to be in the Pacific Theater, who's going to get hit with a torpedo. But it's this protection that God has provided for us. This is one of these things that God just lays over top of our life, and we don't even know, and we don't even really consider all of the great things that God has done for us in this protection that we have. It's priceless. It's priceless. There's no amount of money. There's no amount of money. There's no amount of logistical software, even if they would have had it at the time, that could have orchestrated that any more perfectly than it had been done. And it is the very hand of God at work. Amen, working to keep us and to save us and to help us and prevent us from getting in car accidents and prevent us from getting struck by lightning or any other number of things. The Bible says it this way in Psalm 46. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the sea. In Psalm 91 and verse 2, it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. It meant you could hire the most skilled security guards. You could hire the most elite group of military experts to protect you. And it would all be sorely lacking with the power that there is in the name of Jesus and the protection that he has over our life. It is without compare. It is priceless. There is no amount of money that you can spend to get that kind of protection. Have you ever considered peace? Have you ever considered the value of peace? The book of Mark, chapter 4, toward the end of the chapter, we see this big, long story of Jesus ministering. He was at a full day. Brother Jordan mentioned a couple Wednesday nights ago how, I think he said it from up here, maybe it was in the back, but he mentioned how virtue flows out of you when you minister like this, and I can agree that you are wore out after you speak and need to go home and rest. So this was no different for Jesus, which brings me comfort in some way that his experiences were similar to mine, much like the Bible has described. He was exhausted. He was done with the crowds. He needed a break. He needed some time to himself. So he decides to cross over the sea. They were around the Sea of Galilee area, and they wanted to cross over to the other side. On the other side, there were no big towns. There was not going to be a lot of people there where he could go and he could rest and he could get the rejuvenation that he needed in his physical body. And 37 recounts this story after they launched out into the sea. You're probably familiar with it. It says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. He was so exhausted that even all the upheaval around him from the weather didn't really faze him in any way. He was asleep on the pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, 'Master, carest thou not that we perish?' And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Have you ever considered that passage? Have you ever tried to talk to water and tell it not to spill? How has that worked out for you? It doesn't work. I have made an endeavor this year to spend some time at the Y, removing half the man that shouldn't be here. And earlier this week, yesterday, I was at the Y and I was walking laps and I'm going to do the rowing machine afterwards. And I got there a little earlier than I typically do. And the track is up above the pool area, and part of the area is open so you can see down into the pool. And, you know, most days there's people swimming laps, getting their exercises. There's kids in the other pool splashing around, doing whatever. But yesterday, the pool was perfectly calm and quiet. There was only one person in one of the pools, and he really wasn't doing a whole lot. And the other couple of pools were completely still. Not the slightest little ripple to be seen. If you would go about, and I did a couple laps, and then that's what it was, and it was empty for a long time, and then some people started to come in, and of course the water became troubled, and it only takes one person, it only takes one little toe dip to affect that whole pool. And the only way that pool is going to calm back down again is if you give it enough time and it works it out on its own, and it kind of, the frequencies of the ripple kind of counterbalance each other and become still again. And Jesus, just by speaking into a storm that had affected a whole sea, at the very voice of our master spoken into that kind of volatile situation, instantly the storm ceased. Instantly the water became calm. That's impossible. There's no way that can happen. But when God speaks peace into trouble, when God speaks peace into a volatile situation, there's nothing else that can happen but for peace, amen, to come to pass. And that same God, that same Jesus, amen, that talked to the winds and the wave, that same Jesus that talked to the storm-troubled waters, amen, can speak into our life today. What amount of money can you pay for that kind of peace? What amount of money can you offer in order to gain that kind of benefit in your life? It is a priceless gift, church, that only God can give. It can't come from anybody else. Peace is a priceless gift. Tonight, I'm thankful for the church. Amen. We come here week in and week out, and it's become habit, and it should, and that's fine. Amen. But miracles can happen anytime that we're here. Great things can happen anytime that we're here. Amen. A songwriter wrote a song and said that the church has been through the flood and it's been through the fire. It is a gathering of those who are called out, and I'm thankful for the church. Have you considered the church lately? Have you considered what a benefit and what a good thing in your life it has become? I hope that you will agree with me tonight. The writer of Hebrews said this in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Boy, have those words ever been more true than they are today. Have they ever been more true than they are today? I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the church, and I hope that you're thankful for me. You probably haven't talked to me because I'm not a big talker, amen, but I'm thankful for you all. I'm thankful for the house of God. I'm thankful for brothers and sisters that will come alongside me and uphold me and keep me and pray with me and pray for me. Where else are you going to get that kind of support? You can go to a counselor, you can pay them for their services, and when the clock strikes that they're done, they're out of it. They're checked out. There is no amount of money that's going to keep them involved in your life. Amen. But when you are part of the church, hallelujah, when you are part of the family of God, when you are part of the blood-bought number, hallelujah, there are priceless gifts available to the child of God. The child of God. Encouragement, help. Amen. They're priceless. They're without measure, they're without number. No amount of money can pay, amen, for the kind of support that we provide for one another. I'm thankful for the church, hallelujah. Have you ever considered, this is probably not a topic that we broach a whole lot because most of us are broke all the time, but have you ever considered the inheritance? I see people smiling, you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever considered an inheritance? Now, I personally have not received any big windfall from an inheritance. I don't know of anybody that has received a big windfall in an inheritance. And that would be really nice. You know, my best bet is to get a nice thing or two from mom or dad. You know, maybe fine china, a piece of furniture, or dad's, you know, lifetime collection of tools. And that's great and that's wonderful. And of course, we get all of the priceless memories that come along with this life that we lead and the interactions that we have with one another. But this Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and by his sacrifice, has made a way for you and me to have an inheritance? Are you serious? I was such a disgusting, vile creature, and he did that for me? He extended an opportunity for inheritance to somebody like me? What in the world? Are you kidding? How could he go about doing something like that for a wretch like me? Amen. Paul wrote to the Roman church and he said this, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Is that not amazing? Heirs of God. And the next part's even better. And joint heirs with Christ? How could that ever be possible? He was perfect. He was sinless. He had done no wrong. He was the perfect sacrifice. And I was none of those things and so much more. And yet, here we have this great blessing, this priceless gift to be joint heirs with Christ. And if so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together, Paul goes on to write. What a priceless gift. What a gift from God. Without measure, without price, without any kind of cost that could be paid, save for Jesus' blood to have that be available to us. And as we do, we save the best for last. Have you ever really stopped to consider salvation? Have you taken a moment to consider salvation and what that means for you? Have you ever considered how bad hell would be and how you have been saved from that torment for all of eternity? Have we stopped to consider the best gift of all that Jesus Christ himself paid for on our behalf? Amen. The Bible says that he bought this with a price. He came down and he gave his life for me. He who was sinless became sin for me. Why would somebody do that? Why would somebody do that? He paid the ultimate price for me? What in the world? That is crazy. Amen. Paul wrote to the Roman church in another passage, and he says, for the wages of sin is? The wages of sin is death. That's what you get paid from sin. You get paid death from sin. But the gift of God, he goes on to write, is eternal life. Is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If it sounds too good to be true, yeah, in most contexts it would be too good to be true. But I'm here to tell you tonight that it is not too good to be true because Jesus paid it all. Jesus made a way where there seemed to be no way, and he made a way for us to receive salvation. Luke wrote this, he said, and I say unto you in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, ask and it shall be given you, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, guess what? It's going to be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? No, I wouldn't do that. Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a serpent? No, I certainly wouldn't do that. Or if he shall ask for an egg, would offer him a scorpion? No, we would never do that. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts, if we can do something good for one another, if we can give a good gift, then how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts? One writer says, another writer says, Luke says, instead of good gifts, he says, will give the Holy Spirit to them if they ask. That's amazing, folks. There's no other deal like that in the whole world. No other deal can compare, amen, to this one, this way that Jesus has made for us. Of course, we are reminded also of Acts 2:38. How can you forget that? It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Who else could do that? Who else could make that way available to us? Could Buddha do that? Could Muhammad do that? Could Confucius do that? None of those people could do that. But it was this man, Christ Jesus. Amen. When we called on his name and we reached out to him, that he stretched forth his hand. He made that perfect sacrifice that nobody else could possibly make. And he did all that just for you and me. He knew our faults. He knew our failures. He knew our wretchedness. He knew everything that we had done wrong. And he did it anyway for us. This is a priceless gift. This is a priceless gift, folks. I'm coming to a close. If the musicians would come, that would be great. There's so many more that we could talk about. There's so many more items that we could consider. We could talk about joy. Thankful for joy in the house tonight. We could talk about how the joy of the Lord is our strength. We could talk about how in his presence there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We could say that weeping may endure for a night, but guess what? Joy is coming in the morning. Joy is coming in the morning. Amen. We could talk about faithfulness tonight. We could talk about how God is faithful in all things. We could talk about how he's always there. We could talk about how he's as close as the mention of his name. And we could talk about how, what good is all of his power? What good is all of these plans that he have made if he is not faithful? It is faithfulness that keeps us, amen, from the trials of this life. It is faithfulness, amen, that causes his power to be available to us, and I'm grateful for it. We could spend, you know, we could do a whole series on these items. We could talk about health, and we could talk about healing, how that by his stripes we are healed. We could talk about how he raised Lazarus. We could talk about how he healed the leper. We could talk about how he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. We could talk about how he healed the woman with the issue of blood. We could talk about how he healed our sin condition. Amen. We could spend all evening talking about the healing power of our God. We could spend time talking about his love. I mean, we could spend time talking about how perfect love casts out fear. We could talk about how God so loved the world that he gave his life for you and for me. We could talk about how love drove him to the cross. We could talk about love drove him to make the plan that he made for us, and what a great blessing that is in our life. We could talk about Jesus being our provider. Are you thankful for his provision tonight? Anybody grateful for what God has done? We could talk about Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We could talk about how he always makes a way where there seems to be no way. He works it all out on our behalf. We could talk about how he supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. We could talk about his mercy and his grace and how wonderful they are in our life and how many chances and opportunities he has given to us. And on and on and on we could go tonight talking about the priceless gifts that God has prepared for us. But I'm here with a reminder to the church that if we are not mindful, we can navigate this life with our head hung low. We can navigate this life with an Eeyore mentality, thinking, woe is me, that nothing is ever gonna work out, everything's gonna be bad, and nothing's gonna ever come my way. And oftentimes, amen, we are disappointed because we're looking for items that are extravagant. We're looking for items like the big house. We're looking for items like the best paying job. We're looking for things like the Rolls Royce. We're looking for things like a Rolex, these tangible, costly gifts. We're looking for, you know, the $1 million bank account, which really is not as great as it sounds and is losing value every day. We could think about all those things, and all those things are fine in and of themselves. And God may well give that to you, but it has generally been my observation that that probably is not going to work out that way for us. Or it might easily be overlooked for a daily provision. Don't discount the daily provision, church. Don't discount the daily way that God keeps us and sustains us and extends mercy and gives salvation and gives hope and gives life and gives peace. These are without cost. These are without measure. No amount of money can pay for them. No amount of money can return them to us. They are gifts from God. They are priceless. They are the Timex watch of this natural life. They take a licking and they keep on ticking. That's some good marketing right there. It is a Toyota kind of blessing. Can I preach to somebody tonight? It is a Toyota kind of blessing. It gets you from point A to point B with little stress and little drama, and that's something to be grateful for. A trip to the mechanic is not gonna ruin your life in a Toyota. In a Rolls Royce, it will absolutely ruin your life. I'm a car guy. I watch car videos about this, that, and the other thing, and it's I enjoy that. And one time I heard the cost of upkeep for a Bugatti Veyron. It was insane. You had to change the wheels every year so that they would be strong enough to withstand the power and all these things. And these are the things that we yearn for and we want. It costs $30,000, $40,000 a year. An oil change, they have to tear the car apart to do an oil change And these are the kind of things that we oftentimes find ourselves praying for. We don't need that in our life. God has provided daily provision. It is the supply of our needs. Sure, we have wants, and sometimes God will provide those, and I'm so grateful for that. But God promises to supply all of our needs. What do you have need of tonight? I'm here to tell you that God is able to provide what you have need of. And if he's being extra good, you might get some things that you want in there too. We've all been guilty of overlooking the dependable. We've all been guilty of underappreciating the dependable items in our life. When's the last time you thought about your fridge unless it broke down? It's just there. It's just doing its thing and dependable. It's just there. When's the last time you considered the roof on your house? It's just there. It's just protecting you. When have you considered, you know, the siding on your house? It's just there. It's just protecting you. That's a blessing from God. That is a blessing from God. All these things that we have at our disposal, we can go to any restaurant we want. We can go to any place we feel like and buy whatever we want in a lot of aspects. But these things are priceless things that God has put in all throughout our life. But we fail to turn around and look and see where God's hand has been working on the job, in the home. Have you thought about and considered the benefit of having peace in your home? Ask somebody that doesn't have peace what value there is to have peace in the home. And they'll quickly inform you the great price and value that peace is in the home. These are without price. Amen. I would invite you to stand tonight. We go through this life and we think we have the world by the tail and we think we're doing everything right. And maybe we are. We probably are in many regards. I doubt that we all get everything right most of the time. I know I don't, and I'm not much different than any of you. But we have these things all around us all the time. They're just there. You know, the tires on your car just get you from point A to point B. When's the last time you thanked God for good tires? When's the last time you thanked God for brakes that would stop your car from careening out of control? When's the last time you thanked God for a roof over your head? When's the last time you thanked God that you can take a trip to Kroger and get whatever you need? When is the last time you thanked God for the peace that you have in your relationship with your spouse? When is the last time you considered all these things that God has bestowed upon us? We're looking for the glitz. We're looking for the glam. We're looking for the extravagant thing. And these things without measure, without price, are underneath our nose every day of our life. And we put our focus on all of the problems, and I'm not perfect. I don't get this right. In fact, I rarely get it right. We focus on all the problems and all the struggles. But I'm here to tell you there is more going right in your life than there is going wrong. There is more going right in your life than there is going wrong. Hallelujah. This altar is open. Amen. If you've been reminded of something tonight, then come down and say, sorry, Lord. I should have remembered that. I should have considered those things as benefits. Not just, you know, they're just not going to be there, but they're a benefit to me, these things that you have provided. Or maybe you're amongst those who just had a particularly thankful day, and you just want to come and give God thanks one more time. Come do it tonight. Come do it tonight. Consider what God has done. It is the tactic of the enemy for us to get our eyes on the things that are wrong and lose sight of the things that are right. What you don't have, amen, is so much smaller than the things that you do have. These gifts that God has provided for us, these priceless gifts, are often intangible and hard to see. You have to go out of your way to look for them, but they're there, I guarantee you they're there. Priceless gifts from God. God's hand at work all around us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing together. Let's worship him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and mercy.
You are enough.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. Thank you, Jesus, for the For tonight, church, there's something. There has to be something to be grateful for. There has to be something you can give praise for. There has to be something where you can look and see the hand of God at work in your life. Hallelujah. Don't let the problem, amen, cloud the sight that you have for Jesus Christ. Amen. Look beyond the problem and find Jesus at work. Find an opportunity for Jesus to work a miracle. Find a chance and a venue, an avenue for Jesus to enter in. Hallelujah, he is making a way tonight. He is making a way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You've done more than we deserve, Jesus. You've done more than we deserve. You have done more than we were worthy of. Hallelujah. Your sacrifice is more than enough for my need. Your sacrifice is more than enough for my sin condition. Hallelujah. The cattle on a thousand hill that are at your disposal is greater than the financial need I have in my life. Hallelujah. Work it out. Work it out. Work it out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We love you, Jesus. We worship you and give you praise. We worship you and give you praise. We thank you. Hallelujah. 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 What a grateful thing. What a wonderful thing. Oh, we've got so much to be thankful for. So much to be grateful for. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless your name. Lord, we give you praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, we are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of our faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, that's full of glory. It's full of glory. Priceless gift, folks. Priceless gift. You can't find these in any store, anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. Nobody can provide you with these kind of priceless items, I mean, that we have been provided as the child of God. Finally, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and adds no sorrow. It adds no sorrow with it. It adds no sorrow with it. Amen. I wonder if one more time we could put our hands together. Amen. From a heart of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And give God a praise from deep down on the inside. A praise, hallelujah, for those things that we have taken for granted. A praise for the many ways that he has made for us over and over and over again. Lord Jesus, we're grateful to be in your house tonight. Lord, we're grateful for your strength and power. We're grateful for the many ways that you have made for us. God, we didn't deserve it, but because of love, you went far above and beyond what we were worthy of to do great things, to do mighty things, to provide good and perfect gift and priceless gifts that are without, amen, cost, without any kind of monetary value that can be associated with them. Tonight, we just want to thank you, Jesus. We just want to give thanks for the many good things that you have done. We didn't deserve any of it, Lord, but you gave it willingly. You gave it liberally. You gave it without measure. Lord, for these things we give praise. Let us be reminded tomorrow and Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and next week when work rolls around again, let us find something to be grateful for. Let us see the mighty hand of God at work in our life. Let us see the priceless provisions that you have prepared for us. And give thanks all over again. Give thanks all over again for these great and mighty things that you have done for us. Go with us from this place, Lord. Let our hearts be, amen, with gladness one to another. Let us hold one another up. Let us be grateful for the church. Let us be grateful for the peace of God. Let us be grateful for all of your provisions, God. Priceless gifts that are without, amen, cost, without, amen, measure. In Jesus' name, can the church say amen? Can the church say it again? Amen, hallelujah. One more time, amen. Let it be so, Lord Jesus. Let it be so right here, amen, in my heart, Lord God. Let it be so in the lives of my brothers and sisters. Let it be so in our community. Let it be so, hallelujah, when we speak and when we share, amen, and converse one with another. In Jesus' name, thank you for being here. God bless you. Amen. Go forth in the love of God. Amen. Greet one another. Amen. And be encouraged. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.